We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio. Oh, 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 oh.
Oh, I will be thinking of you three when I'm in the Dominican Republic about this time tomorrow afternoon. And I am lying. You know, we got good news today, and I think anybody who is watching ABC's Good Morning America, Fox 4. There may have been a familiar face on your TV screen. A lady who worked here for many, many years, a dear friend of ours, Darla J., who we reported on the air back in February, had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and whom we said if breast cancer didn't have a chance against anybody, it was Darla J. Well, yesterday, Darla J. received her last radiation treatment. And as is custom in many of these facilities, you get to ring the bell. And Darla did.
I broke the bell!
You broke the bell.
That's fantastic. Okay.
We can put it back on.
And in her excitement, she broke the damn bell. Darla J. joins us on the hotline. Hello, my dear friend. It is going to be so nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Dana. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
It's been kind of an odd couple of days. I when you hear on the telephone from a doctor, you have breast cancer, you just can't imagine getting to the end. It's just so overwhelming, and the fact that I finished my radiation treatments, and now everybody wants to, when I broke the bell, everybody wants
You didn't break the bell, you broke the damn bell.
I know. And here I thought the radiation would have sucked all of the life out of me, but no.
I laughed and I smiled and I cried when I saw the video, Darla. It makes me, I know you've had a rough couple of years, and it made me happy to see that this part of this chapter has closed. Can you take us back a little ways? And you were diagnosed in February, correct?
Right.
And
actually, I had a mammogram. The first mammogram was in November. And then they saw something. So they wanted me to have another mammogram in the beginning of December. And then Mama J, my mom, fell and broke her knee. So they did see something in the second mammogram, and they wanted me to come in for an ultrasound. But I said, you know, my mom broke her knee, and I've got to take care of her, so I have to wait.
Yeah.
So then later in January, I had an ultrasound, and the ultrasound technician said, I don't think it's anything. It looks like a cyst, but we're going to make sure. And I said, okay. Mm. So I went back in, and they did a biopsy, and it was a cyst, and it collapsed. But here's the weird thing. After that collapse, they sent me for another mammogram, and that's when they found the cancer. It was hiding behind that cyst.
Wow.
Otherwise, they probably wouldn't have found it.
So it almost needed to happen in the order that it did, the strange order that it did.
It did. It did, and when I saw the mammogram, this is the only way I could describe it. The first thing to me looked like a little bump. It didn't look like anything. The cancer looked like a shining star on my mammogram. It was bright. It was light. It was like it was glowing, and I was like, "That doesn't look right." And I said to myself, "Oh my God, that's cancer." And then I thought, well, maybe it isn't. Maybe it isn't. And I just remember standing in the dining room And the phone rang, and it was my doctor, and my mom came and stood by me, and he said, I don't even want to tell you this. I had begged him to call me because I was sick of waiting.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I'm not, I said, no matter what the answer is, I'll be okay. And so he said, I don't even want to tell you this. I said, it's cancer, isn't it? And he said, yes, and it dropped me to my knees. You know, I think as women, the last thing you want to hear is breast cancer. As men, the last thing you want to hear is prostate cancer, colon cancer. I mean, the word cancer just sucks the ever-living life out of you. And so I had surgery in March. It was a fast-growing tumor. It was, you couldn't feel it. It was way back against my breastbone, so it was quite an extensive surgery, but it was considered a, I guess they would call it a partial mastectomy. And then I was trying to figure out if I would have to have chemotherapy or not.
Yeah.
And the type of tumor I had is called hormone positive. And I was shocked that I even had any hormones left in me because I'm so damn old. But apparently I do. And so they took a piece of that tumor and they sent it for like a DNA test. They tested like 20 different DNA markers on my particular tumor. And if you got a 26 and up, you had chemo. If you got a 25 and down, you didn't. And I was a 25. Mm. And so there was, you know, of all the bad diagnoses, there was some good news that I didn't have to have chemotherapy. They said that it would be less than a 1% chance that it would help me. And then that I have like a 12% chance of it coming back within the next 5 years.
And Darla, you ended up with 30 radiation treatments, correct?
Right. Right. And the, you know what I'm like. I'm one of those people who has to know everything. So
yeah.
I was online and I was doing research and I was trying to figure out everything and I wanted to make sure I asked the right questions. And, you know, I mean, I'm away from my tribe, so to speak, in Kansas City. And so it was kind of a lonely sort of experience. You know, my mom's here with me, but I kind of went through this on my own. Mm. And even though I knew from talking to other people that radiation is not painful at the time that you're having it, the day that I laid down for that first treatment, I remember laying there, and the tears were just rolling down the sides of my face because I was so scared. I was so, so scared. And then when they got done, I go, "We're done?" And she said, "Yeah." And then I knew I could do it. And, you know, the more radiation you have, the worse you feel. Me personally, exhausted, tired down to my bones.
Yeah.
And so, and the more radiation you have in the same spots, the more burned you get. So I have a couple of pretty substantial, I would call them burns, but, and I'm still pretty wiped out, but I'm done.
And so, Darla, you watched other people come and go and ring that bell while you were there getting your treatment?
You know, I could hear the bell from around the corner, and I knew where it was.
Yeah.
But I think one of the hardest things for me, other than the fear, because, you know, I mean, your first thought when you find out you have cancer is, am I going to die? Was I got to be really good friends with some people that came in, because you pretty much go in the same time every day to have your radiation treatment. And one little woman who was in a wheelchair, she and I prayed together a couple of times and talked a little bit because her daughter couldn't come back with her. And I think one of the hardest times for me was like my fourth week. I said, "Where is Maria?" And they told me that she died.
Oh.
And so that was pretty tough. And then my sister-in-law-to-be here in Houston, her mom got diagnosed with colon cancer. And came here in April, and she died a couple weeks ago. And so it's been a journey. It really has. It's been a very difficult journey, but I'm pretty proud of myself.
Oh, Darla, and I know everyone listening is so proud of you, and I know how you are. We've known each other a long time, but I hope that you know you're ringing that bell and the joy that we see on your face when you are ringing that bell, sweetheart. That has given so many people hope, and I hope that you know that you've done a very, very powerful thing.
Thanks. It has been a rough couple of years. I had a job. I lost the job right before I got diagnosed with cancer, which made that even doubly hard. And so I'm hoping that I can take this experience and use it to help other people who might be going through the same thing that I am. I'm hoping that the fact that all these people have seen this video and I made a, you know, typical Darla break something, laughs her head off, that I can actually use this to help other people. Because, you know, now that that's over, now I got to start thinking about what am I going to do next? You know, what's my next move? And I'm trying to figure
you're not going
to
be
right
a bell
now.
Ringer, I'll tell you that.
I think the Salvation Army has banned you for life.
Salvation Army's out, Darla.
But, darling, let me read something from the text line. I think it'll bring a smile to your face. It did for me.
Okay.
Somebody writes, "See, I told you so. Radiation does create superheroes."
Well, hey,
yeah, I'm
just
the Incredible Hulk now.
Right.
I know that you've had a long day, and I think you've been on every network news show and all of the affiliates. And again, I think that the video just brings joy to so many people, and I think there's so much power in that. And you are one of the most powerful women I've ever met, and so we're thrilled for you, and wish nothing but the best for you.
And we love you.
And we love you,
and
girl.
I love you too. I love you both too. And thank you so much for thinking about me and talking about me and being my friends, and I miss you both terribly.
Well, it's hard not to think about you when I turn on Good Morning America. And
there she goes.
I had my back turned. I'm like, oh, they're doing a story about the Salvation Army already.
Yeah.
Hey, God bless you, Darla J, and thank you. And you have such a warm spirit, and you are dearly missed, and we love you very much.
I love you, too. Thank you all so
all right.
much.
You take care of yourself and stay in touch, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you, kiddo.
I broke the bell.
You broke the bell.
That's fantastic.
Okay. We can put it back on. I
Star today. KU is going to start selling beer and wine at all home football games this upcoming season.
Well, people are drinking it anyway, so they might as well make some money off of
it. Beginning in the 2019 season, previously alcohol had only been permitted in suites and in two premier ticket areas. Translation, only the rich people could drink beer and wine. Athletics director Jeff Long said the decision was made after KU tested alcohol sales on a trial basis at other home sports events. Fans have told us, he says, that one of the best ways to enhance their experience at Kansas athletic events
is to get your drink on.
Is for them to get hammered. So we're going to do it.
Well, it's been about the only way to watch the football team the last several years.
In fairness, Will brings up a good point. The line I didn't read was the opening line in the Star's story. KU football fans now have a reason to stay past halftime.
Oh, come on. Hey, it's a rebuilding year.
Been a rebuilding year for 10 years.
Halftime?
A lot of rebuilding.
I saw a lot of people leaving by the end of the first quarter anytime I'd go.
You go for the atmosphere and the wine.
Now? I always found it weird. You could take, because they changed the rules like 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, that you could tailgate around the stadium. Which is to say the people who could afford to park their cars in that very small area on the east side of the stadium.
Yes.
So if you paid a very premium price for your parking ticket, you were allowed to chug beers outside of your car. But you couldn't go inside and chug beers.
No, of course not.
Even though you know everybody was putting shooters in their little khaki pockets.
Absolutely. And those same people, if they were thinking of staying past halftime, would go outside at halftime, chug a beer, and go back in.
A beer?
Okay, multiple beers, and then go back in.
It's about time.
I'm not saying I have experience with this, but you know.
Here's a question, though. What are they going to do about the student population? You going to card everybody?
I assume the vendors would have to play by those rules, yes.
I would assume so, too.
Probably going to do like the wristband, you know, the wristband station thing.
That's not a bad idea.
That's primarily what happens at pro sporting events. I'd presume you'd do the same thing at the collegiate level. If you want a drink, you got to go get your wristband.
We are waiting for details on this, but charges have been dropped against Kevin Spacey involving allegations that he groped an 18-year-old man at a Massachusetts resort bar in 2016. Was that the only charge he was facing?
I think so.
This is from the Associated Press out of Boston. Prosecutors have dropped their case accusing Kevin Spacey of groping in 2016. Okay. Where do you want to go next?
Let's talk about the school employees.
Well, let's turn on our microphone so everybody can hear what
we're
thinking.
I'm just telling you, not that we, you know, not the smoothest transition between Spacey and what we're about to talk to here. This is a story about what your rights are when you hire someone. So all of you listening, if you are a manager, if you work for a school, we want to hear from you because I do not understand how this happened. If you have not seen it, you got to look up this story.
It's out of DeSoto.
You know, and let's just start by saying this. There are certain things, Scott, you can ask and certain things you cannot when you are hiring someone, okay?
All right.
And give me an example there because you have been a manager. So you can say to me, have you ever committed a felony? Correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
You can say to me, where did you last work? And I can answer that.
Why did you leave? How long did you work there?
But
I can't ask them why you left.
That's what this story is going to be about. I want to know, do you not have any right to ask the former employer about misbehavior?
I had a former employee... and I'm not going to get into the weeds of it, obviously, because I don't know if I would still be liable, but there was an issue, okay? And we decided to part ways. I got a phone call from another radio station, and I will not say if this employee was a man or a woman, and I will definitely not give their name. This was several years ago, a long time ago. And they said, did so-and-so work for you? We're thinking about hiring this person. Did so-and-so work for you? I said, yes, they did. And they said, well, do you remember the dates of employment? And I said, January of whatever through February of whatever.
Yeah.
And they said, and why did you let this person go? And I said, well, I can tell you they worked from January here to February there. And they said, no, I understand that. And
it's like a dance. You're dancing.
Yeah. And they just kept saying, okay, was there a problem? And I said, well, they worked from January here to February there.
You just kept repeating
yes.
it.
Yes.
Aren't you able to say whether they are or are not eligible for rehire?
They never asked me that.
Can't you
volunteer that?
I wasn't going to get in trouble for anybody.
Okay. So here's what happened. And then I need you to explain to me how this happened. The DeSoto School District hired Richard Finazzo as a school nurse. They claim that when they hired Mr. Finazzo, they did not know that Finazzo had been fired by a school 15 miles away over suspicions he had had inappropriate contact with a student. The superintendent is saying, we did not know. But Finazzo was fired from Gardner Edgerton High School 2 years ago under suspicion for the exact same conduct he is accused of now. Last month, he was charged with 2 counts of unlawful sexual relations with a minor, 16-year-old girl, allegedly, Scott.
The affidavit claims that the charges stem from interviews with a number of other female students at DeSoto High School who say Finazzo made sexual comments and sometimes would touch them inappropriately when they visited his office.
I read another story that said suspicions were raised because girls seemed to be, he seemed to be having girls into that office for longer periods of time than seemed appropriate. My question to broaden this topic is, first of all, the schools are 15 miles away. You mean to tell me?
They're in the same county.
In the same county with all of the chatter within education. If you're a teacher or principal and someone gets canned 15 miles away, you don't think for 1 minute there's chatter about why, especially if it's alleged sexual misconduct with a student?
Apparently not this time.
Come on, Scott.
What do you want me to say?
There's
I don't know.
Way they didn't know this.
Well, this radio station didn't know why this person was no longer here.
I'm not saying they could tell HR in an official capacity. I'm saying people industry to industry know what's going on in their industry. And if you're listening right now, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher, if you work in telecommunications, something like this happens in a police department.
Sure.
You know, because you have friends who teach in that district. You know.
We know what happens in other stations around the city.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to believe that this new district did not know what happened 15 miles down the road. It's almost impossible for me to believe that.
You're talking, though, about hearsay, because there has been...
Okay.
There has been, or at the time, there was no criminal charge. There was no HR file that you could acquire and say... And can you imagine you're interviewing somebody and you get word that there's something fishy going on. Now, granted, you could hire someone else and just come up with some baloney excuse on why you didn't hire that person. But can you imagine if you're Finazzo, okay?
Okay.
And I'm the person doing the hiring in DeSoto, all right? Mr. Finazzo, thanks for coming in, blah, blah, blah. Let's go over your resume here. And next thing you know, we're about 15 minutes into the interview. You know, there are rumors going around that I've gotten wind of here in the education community that you did some inappropriate things down at Gardner Edgerton.
You wouldn't have even interviewed him, Scott. Who's going to interview someone in education where you left under a cloud of suspicion of having sex with an underage girl? They wouldn't have even interviewed him.
But there would be no charges.
It doesn't matter. Come on.
Well,
this is what the school is saying. When Finazzo was hired, they weren't even aware he had been fired by the Gardner-Edgerton district and, as a result, could not have known why he was fired because they didn't know he was fired.
Did they call down to Gardner?
They told the Star they also didn't know if district officials ever contacted Gardner-Edgerton. So you're telling me you cold hired a man nurse?
Well, simmer on the man
without, nurse. Without even asking... Where did you come from?
Well, if you're asking me if the hiring process seems to have been scuttled a little bit, yes. But you don't just not hire a school nurse because he has a penis.
Listen, Hardwood says the district is dependent on what the applicant provides to them when doing reference checks. Are you kidding me? There is no way. Please call in if you're in education. There is no way. Please tell me there is no way that when they hire someone working that closely with students like a nurse, no one is going to pick up the phone and do a rudimentary search of where this person came from.
If your question is, does this appear to be a sloppy hiring process? Yes. But I must go back. I hate the term man nurse. That's like saying woman doctor. That's not fair.
I am stunned if they're only... excuse for hiring this person is that we just went by what he told us and had no idea he was working 15 miles down the road.
Again, if that is the case, it appears to be a very sloppy interview process. I don't do background checks on the people that I hire because, quite frankly, I don't care. You're not in jail now. It does appear that it was sloppy. That they should have done a little bit more due diligence in their hiring process.
Which is worse, that they knew but hired him anyway because there was no charge, or that they just didn't even bother to check where his last date of employment or place of employment would have been?
Give me the first one again.
Which is worse, that they knew he was fired and hired him anyway. They knew he was fired.
That would have been worse.
Or they just
if they knew what he was fired
for, check.
If they knew what he was fired for, that of course that would be worse. But what I think we're talking about here is the latter, not the former. Because there's no way he would have been hired if there was going around, you know, this guy down there in Gardner may have done something. And
but if you're a teacher, you have a teaching.
But do we know that what he did in Gardner is similar to what he's accused of doing in DeSoto? That's my question. Because it seems to me...
It says the same conduct. Over 2 years after he was fired from Gardner Edgerton, he resigned his post at DeSoto while under suspicion for the same conduct. That is according to criminal charges filed against him.
Okay. Then that's bad. Let's go to Tammy in Olathe. Hello, Tammy.
Yes, hi.
Hello. Hi.
I had a comment about the nurse in DeSoto, and in my opinion, I think that people do gossip about this stuff. The thing that I think that's missing when you're talking about this is that if other teachers, let's say teachers in DeSoto, were not aware of who was being looked at for this position, there would be no gossip because sometimes I think these administrators keep it from the other staff members if they have some inkling that there's something in the past because they just need to fill the spot.
Like they hired him over the summer, Tammy, or something, and there just wasn't any
chatter
about it?
A good example would be I'm in the Olathe School District. One of our principals was hired here in Olathe at one of the high schools while there was an open ACLU complaint against him, and none of the administrators or teachers that I've talked to were aware that this person was going to be on board or knew about it until it was too late.
But let me ask you this, Tammy, because I appreciate your call because you are in education. Does the Gardner-Edgerton district, which was the first district to fire him over this alleged sexual impropriety with a minor, does the Gardner-Edgerton school district not have an obligation, and I'm going to use that word, to warn the other districts?
Well, I guess my question for you is, do we know that he was terminated? Or was he given an option to leave? Because a lot of times the conversation goes more like, hey, maybe this is your last year here, and then there's nothing on your record, but get on down the road.
The story said he was fired and that officials...
Fired from DeSoto.
Yeah, no. Officials who hired Finazzo in DeSoto were not aware he had been fired from Gardner-Edgerton.
Right.
So he was fired. What stuns me is that there is no protocol in place for Gardner-Edgerton to say, hey, this guy works with kids. We have fired him for suspicion of sexual misconduct with a student. There's no obligation for them to warn the other districts?
Go ahead, Tammy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm actually shocked your question is that they didn't have an obligation as a first reporter to contact the police.
I think the thing that maybe I don't understand about this case is how old were the students in Gardner, because if they were of age of consent, it becomes a different situation.
There is no such thing as consent, Tammy, with someone in an authority figure in education and a student. It doesn't exist.
But there is, because it happened in Olathe. What happened at Olathe South High School was there was a teacher having a relationship with a 17-year-old girl. And what he was actually charged with was not sexual misconduct with a minor, because the age of consent is 16. What he was fired for and charged with was the fact that he violated his position as a person of authority, because the law states you could not be in a relationship with someone who is at your school. So, like, let's say I'm a principal at Olathe South, I can have a 17-year-old girlfriend at Olathe North.
Oh, I'm sorry, my fat fingers, but we've got to run. Thank you, Tammy, for the call. 576.
We'll get to more of this here in a moment.
576-7798. All right, we're going to be doing Family Feud in the 4 o'clock hour. I'm thinking about right after the 4:15 break. Let's go to Diane in... Hey, Will, Family Feud at 4:15. Can you make that happen? All right. Diane in North Kansas City. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Dana. You had asked earlier, doesn't the school district that that person is leaving have a responsibility to tell the new school district? And actually, it's considered defamation of character. We were specifically told, I'm a retired teacher.
Sure.
And we were specifically told not to share recommendations, that it had to go through our central office, because any recommendation that put a negative light on someone could be considered as defamation of character. And as your last caller said, a lot of times it's not, the person is not fired. It's just a discussion of, we think you should move on, because it's just kind of an unspoken, what we know. And you can't tell the new district that, because it's not been taken to court. It's not been proven.
Well, and Diane, back up. They couldn't tell the new district that because the new district never even bothered to call, number one. And to Scott's point, it might be one thing to say, okay, you can't in an HR setting divulge why this guy was fired. Mm-hmm. It's an entire different discussion, and you are spot on, Scott, over why authorities weren't called. Because at least then you're handing it off, and there would be a paper trail.
Yeah, that's the
and
big question I have.
And when they did a background check, he would pop up as, oh, hey, by the way, this says you were investigated in Gardner-Edgerton. You never even mentioned you work there. You want to explain that?
I don't think an investigation would pop up, but a conviction most certainly would. If he, or a plea of some capacity, maybe he would plead it down to, you know, I don't know, reckless endangerment or something like that.
Do nurses work under the same umbrella as if your certification is yanked? Okay, Scott, and this happens all the time, where a teacher isn't necessarily charged or convicted, but their certification can be yanked for fill in the blank. Do nurses work under those same rules, school nurses?
I have no idea. I can ask.
Yeah, I'd love to know that. Because there should be some governing body that keeps track of this when this happens.
But you're dealing with states, you know. Okay, I thought a friend of mine who's a teacher was answering that, but he wasn't. If you get your credentials yanked as an educator in the state of Kansas, can you not just go over to the state of Missouri and become one?
I do not believe so. Okay.
This is a classic example of, you guys are smarter than we are, and I don't know the answer. I have no clue.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.